Hey, what's up? Welcome back to the Todd V Show. Today, we're going to talk about hot girls. I know that's what we talk about every time, but no, specifically, we're going to talk about how the very hottest girls are different than the rest of the female population, psychologically, lifestyle-wise, those kind of things, and more specifically, what that means for you if you want to date and have relationships with those girls. So I got a question that really inspired me for this episode. And essentially, the question was along the lines of, are hot girls different? And this is someone who in their game, they had some success with girls they had considered cute, but not like the absolute tip top upper echelon type of girls. And they were wondering, how are they different? Are they different? Am I deluding myself, et cetera? And the answer to the question is that, yes, they are different, and no, they're not different, kind of at the same time. On a fundamental level, a woman is a woman is a woman. Like genetically, a girl who's a 5 and a girl who's a 10 are so genetically similar, it's ridiculous. And a lot of the difference between a 5 and a 10, it won't have to do with genetics. It'll have to do with lifestyle, or do they go to the gym and do they do their makeup and that kind of stuff as well. Although, a 5 and a 10 is a pretty big gap. If women are that similar, the things that attract them will generally be similar, right? Women will, like a 5 or a 10 are both attracted to Cristiano Ronaldo or Brad Pitt or whatever. One might think they have a much more realistic chance with him, right? One might actually date him in real life, but both would be attracted to him. So the things that are attracted to them are fundamentally kind of the same in both cases. There's not that huge of a difference. However, the lifestyle and life experience of a girl who grew up her whole life as a 5 versus a girl who grew up her whole life as a 10 will be dramatically different, because they will be treated differently over and over and over again throughout their lives, right? They will have attention, like in the case of the 10, they will have attention when they walk into a room almost all the time, whereas the 5 will be overlooked. The 10 will be invited to the cool parties and will hang out with the popular kids and things like that because they can. The 5 might want to, but might not have the opportunity to do so. And yes, there are the 10s who would actually reject the cool popular kids, but even that is a difference in lifestyle. Knowing that you could and rejecting is different than not knowing that you could. Right. So there is, a fundamental difference in that. The 10 is more likely to be objectified at various times. The 10 is more likely to be treated as very much a female, as opposed to the 5 is just being treated as a person very often, because they're dealing with men and women who have no interest in them, no jealousy toward them. They're not provoking as many feelings and emotions about them. So lifestyle wise, there is a difference. So what do I recommend when it comes to meeting and dating the absolute hottest girls? Well, the first step actually is to not treat them differently. First mistake most guys make when they want to meet a girl who they consider a 10 is that they do treat her differently in the wrong ways. They cannot be their best selves around her. They suddenly are like, oh my God, this is my one opportunity to meet a girl this hot in like my entire life, and I better not blow it. And they put all this pressure on themselves. They start being overly nice. They start being like trying too hard to be similar. They get so nervous. They lose their own like ability to come up with things to say. They start to be stilted, et cetera, right? I should give you an interesting and painful experience from my own life. This would have been a while ago now, probably almost a decade ago, but I was in Hollywood. I was running a boot camp program out there in Hollywood. And I was trying to go to this particular club that I hadn't been to before, but I heard was really good with the students. And I didn't know how to get there. And so we were within a block or so of it, and we're trying to go there. And there was like this gate that I thought that was the way to go through the club. I'm trying to pull on the gate, et cetera. And it wasn't working. Obviously, it was closed. And behind me, some voice said like, oh, did you try whatever? I'm like, and I didn't have an idea who this person was. I didn't know whatever. It's like a female voice. I was like, no, I haven't, because I'm not aware of how gates work. I've never seen one of those before in my life. Maybe you can assist me, right? I'm being like super sarcastic and like, of course, you fucking idiot. Of course I did it, et cetera, right? And then I turned around and this girl was like the most gorgeous girl I'd seen in like such a fucking long time. But the fact that I had been irreverent and disrespectful and whatnot, it kind of got her attention. She actually kind of thought it was funny. We actually started talking, ended up taking her information. She was pretty into me, followed up. And she seemed, remarkably willing to meet up with me for a date. Things looked really good. And then she came on the date with me. And on that particular date, it turned out this girl was not only drop dead gorgeous, but she also had this insane life history, right? Like she was raised in a lot of ways that I really respected. She was successful, smart, had like like the kind of stuff you'd look for in like wife material and shit like that. I'm not going to go into too many details, but I was just absolutely deeply impressed by her on the date. And because of that, I just ended up having a very good, interested, curious conversation with her. And I forgot to tease her and give her shit and put her in her place and that kind of stuff, which ironically was the very thing that got her so into me in the first place. And so the date ended up being like pleasant and fun and a nice little meal we had together, but it didn't really have the spark that a lot of my other dates had had. And that was at a time when I was actually really killing it on dates in general and really, really doing well. So it just didn't have that same spark. And I kind of realized it was going to go towards, you know, not anywhere physical that night. It kind of like the energy had petered out. And I asked her, you know, so what's your, you know, plan for the rest of the night? She's like, honestly, I didn't have any other plans for tonight. Right. So she had shown up and she had decided she really liked me, and she had decided I was her plan for the night. And she probably was, you know, very much looking forward to doing something sexual with me that night. But because I got in my head and treated her as different, or because I got overly impressed by her, and in this case, not just because of her looks, but because I personality wise as well, was just treating her with a little too much respect. And a little too much like I was a little too nice, and I forgot all the things that worked in game, and I stopped being myself. I stopped finding the ways to tease her and give her a hard time and treat her kind of like, you know, like she was that silly little girl, as opposed to this, oh my God, awesome woman. And it messed it up for me, right? In a situation that, you know, you look back on certain ones, you're like, fuck, if only, right? So yeah, even at that point, a decade or so into game, I made that mistake. So you can only imagine guys who aren't in that situation, you know, regularly, they probably mess up that situation. They become too soft. They become too easy. They become too accommodating with girls that they really like. And in this case, again, it was not just on appearance and personality, but even so, yeah, that's a big thing. You need to go back to what works for you. It's like the team in a sport who gets all the way to the championship game playing a certain way, and then they get like overhyped by their opponents. Like, oh, my opponent's so good, we have to change it up and adapt to our opponent. No, honestly, most of the time you're better off doing what got you there, right? You got there for a reason. You know, stick with what's worked, right? And for a number of reasons. Number one, it's more likely to work. Number two, it's a lot easier to deal with, right? If you put out your best effort and you fail with it, fine, whatever. You just were overmatched. Right. But if you change things up, you're always going to wonder what if. So psychologically as well, it's better to just go for it and just be yourself. That's not the just be yourself, by the way, that your mother and like your sister and like freaking like that's not that kind of be yourself. Be your best game. Be what has worked for you in the past. Right. So trust that. And that's really the first step when it comes to dealing with the hottest girls, is don't adjust in bad ways. Don't adjust to them in a way where you're doing worse than you would with a girl you considered like a 6 or 7 or 8. Once you've done that, you will start to occasionally be successful with hot girls, because there will be certain hot girls that are kind of, they like your type of guy, or you're a good match for them. And now you're being an attractive guy in general. And that overall will get you some success with hot women. But it may not be as consistent as it is maybe with the girls who are less hot. And at that point, when you can treat them as normal and you're starting to get some success with them, then it's a time to go ahead and start adapting to the hot girls. And here's where you need to understand the difference. The difference, or the main difference with hot girls, is that they have been offered a lot of opportunity socially, and they've been in the cool cliques and around the cool kids for their entire lives. And so they have a very good radar for what is cool and what is not cool, what is popular, what is not. And they really pick up on leveling behaviors. They pick up on the little uncool stuff, right? If your favorite bar in town is a bar that everybody can get into and it's not exclusive, that's going to be unusual for them, because they're used to going to the bars that not everybody can go to, because that's where they're getting invited by the cool, popular kids over and over again. So if that is the case for you, don't mention it. Right. It's what I call a UDI, unnecessary display of ignorance, or unnecessary display of incompetence. Right. And it's not to be confused with a UTI, which we also don't like, but UDIs are bad. Right. Don't say these things that indicate that you've been the unpopular kid. Don't say these things that indicate you haven't been cool and accepted and those kind of things. Again, you don't have to fit into all the stereotypes of the guys they dated before. And in some cases, it can even be charming or good that you don't. But you don't want to be doing behaviors that indicate low social status or a lack of coolness without also offering some value or offering some benefit or improving you in some way, right? You don't want to make what sort of unforced errors, right? So if, for example, let's say you play the accordion and you're fucking passionate about it and you love it and it's one of your things. That is absolutely fine and cool, as long as you actually indicate that and you're unique and quirky and stand out and passionate in the right way. But if you happen to play the accordion and be bad at it, and it's something that only the nerdy kids did, maybe you don't bring that up, right? Maybe you don't bring up your uncool thing that also doesn't have a lot of positives to go with it, right? So that's the difference. If it has positives to go with it, fine. If it doesn't, not so cool. For example, for me, when I was young, I played chess and I was a state chess champion. I bring that up to girls, even hot girls, it's impressive. If I just was like, I was in chess club, that's very different, right? And so there's the uncoolness, or the fact that the popular cool kids didn't play chess, which works against me. The fact that I was fucking great at it, which works for me. On net, it's better for my personal conveyance to say it than not to. But if I hadn't been good at it, I might just leave that out of the conversation, for example. Another huge behavior that particularly attractive women pick up on is guys who are trying too hard to be similar to them, guys who are trying too hard to fit in with them, right? And actually, that story that I gave with the girl with the fence and the date that didn't go as well, one of the words I actually used was I was being irreverent, right? Irreverence is huge with hot girls. Like, most guys are reverent around them. Most guys are like, oh, worshipful, you know, my... Your highness princess, what can I do for you? The fact that you don't give a shit, the fact that you're willing to walk away, the fact that you're willing to be dismissive, the fact that you're willing to lose her is absolutely huge. In fact, here's a little thing that I do when meeting hot girls in bars. So oftentimes when I'm out teaching a boot camp, I tend to wear a lot of all black because it kind of fits in any bar around the world. It's stylish without being noticeable. So I can look at it like I can watch a student talking to a girl and not like have like flashy clothes and have everyone drawing attention to me, et cetera. But the thing is with wearing black is that I tend to look oftentimes like bar staff or like a bouncer or something like that when I'm in the bar. So a lot of times girls will come up to me and ask me for like directions or ask me something about the bar or something like that, right? And sometimes very hot girls will ask me this. And so I could obviously be like, no, bathroom's over there, or oh, you can get at this bar, but also that bar or whatever, right? But what I like to do actually is say something a little bit rude. Like, how the fuck should I know? Why are you asking me? Right? I'm just kidding. The bathroom's over there. What was your name, by the way? Right? Something like that. Giving them shit, or even like just using a four-letter word in your first sentence with them, or acting like you don't care, being willing to be rude, right? Like, why are you touching me? I'm kidding, dude. Relax. I'm just fucking with you. Goodness gracious, the look on your face. And now you're into, you know, a good interaction with her, as opposed to being all nice and helpful and sweet, like 99% of guys would be, right? Most guys would be like that, even with a normal girl, but especially with a hot girl. Oh no, your highness. No, yeah, the bathroom. I would love to help you. Can I maybe take you there? Like, don't be that guy. Don't be the guy who's so eager to please and appease. Be the guy who is willing to give her shit, who like actually wants to make fun of her, who wants to have a fun interaction with her. And placing that idea, and this is good for game in general, placing the idea of having a fun interaction above and ahead of getting the girl or impressing the girl will ironically tend to impress the girl and get the girl more effectively, right? So that willingness to be irreverent, that willingness to be polarizing, and especially for hot girls, because there's a metaphor, I forget who told me this metaphor, but it's a funny one, is do you remember those very old books in like elementary school? Maybe I'm dating myself here, like for when I went to elementary school, but the book's called like the Magic School Bus books, where it's like they have like the Magic School Bus goes to outer space, Magic School Bus inside the human body. And it's like the school bus, you're going on these like incredible journeys that no human being has ever experienced ever in life, but you're in your little school bus and you're completely safe and you're just like being exposed to the wonders of the world. That in some ways is like the life of a hot girl. They're riding through life on the Magic School Bus, right? Like, oh, do you want to go to Dubai? Oh, would you like to go to the like nicest sushi restaurant in town where it's $500 a plate and it takes 6 months to get a reservation? Oh yeah, it's just no big deal. This is just normal life, right? Girls are going through the world on their Magic School, the hot girls, right? On the Magic School Bus. And if you don't do something to like shake that bus up, they're just kind of in this like dazed, blasé, like, oh, la-di-da-di, life is wonderful. And you're not making an impression. You're not standing out for them. But as soon as you break that reality, as soon as you break that pattern of men bending over backwards for them and doing everything for them and being too nice and being boring, as soon as you like actually challenge them in some way or actually give them shit in some way or make them sit up and get a reaction, now they're not on that Magic School Bus and now you're a memorable experience, right? And so the more used to being catered to and waited on hand and foot a girl is, the more just being willing to say an impolite word around her, or being willing to walk away, or being willing to be like, I don't know, you figure it out yourself, right? Just give her a little bit of a hard time is absolutely huge. I'll give you another one. This was from, so there's this girl I met, she's in New York, and she was in New York during like the like summer intern, whatever, that period. And this girl's absolutely like just super, super gorgeous. Like she was like probably junior, senior in college on an internship, that kind of thing. And so I started talking to her, and she was definitely she was hot, but she was also very much like, clearly came from some kind of money, clearly like had like been a little bit coddled and taken care of in her life and that kind of stuff. And I remember one very key moment where we're talking, and I mentioned I was from Colorado, and she go, oh, I have a house in Vail. I said, you mean your dad has a house in Vail? I was like, yeah, I mean, yeah. Right. But just stopping and putting her in her place like that. I'm like, what the fuck? Like you should, you're like in diapers. You don't have a house in Vail. But like being willing to actually like be real with her and be like, just shut the fuck. Don't give me your like fucking little like aristocratic bullshit. Right. And that made absolutely huge impression. And I don't want to get into too many details on a podcast that's going out, you know, to the world or whatever. But a few hours after this, we were definitely having sex in a place that was very much not a bed and very much not in anybody's apartment. So we'll leave it at that. But yeah, the aristocratic posh girl definitely was a little less aristocratic and posh. Once she was challenged, and once I was actually treating her as a human being and not as a stereotype of, you know, the hot girl who grew up riding horses or whatever the fuck. Just to summarize, really the two-step process of being good with the really hot girls. Step one, do not treat them differently. Step two, start treating them differently. And so far in terms of step two, I've mentioned how you convey yourself, and that you just convey yourself as being cooler, convey yourself as having had good things happen to you in life, convey yourself as being willing to walk away and having abundance, all those kind of things, which are actually just good game in general, but especially important with the hottest girls. There is one step further in terms of relating to the hot girl, which is if you happen to know, like, so I mentioned not making UDIs, not mentioned saying uncool things. There are also opportunities to say things that explicitly put you in that girl's world. So for me, for example, because of the lifestyle I've led and stuff like that, I have dated a variety of girls that were actresses and models. And so if I meet, and also actresses, models, strippers, I guess. So if I meet a girl that's in one of those professions, because I don't know why I put those together, but they do kind of work in terms of all this. I have relatable experiences there, right? So for example, if I meet a girl who's an actress or a model, I can relate to them about what a casting process is like, right? About like, there's this thing called like a cattle call, right? If you've never heard of this, something that women call it, but a cattle call is where like, you know, they're casting for the role of hot cheerleader extra in some movie. And the girl's agent calls them, hey, you should audition for this role. And they show up, and there's 500 girls who are all in insane shape, all have like perfect makeup, perfect plastic surgery, all wearing essentially the same outfit this girl is wearing, who are all her same size, shape, eye color, hair color. And the girl just looks around and she's like, I am so replaceable, right? And that's an experience, right? That's a very humbling experience for a lot of very hot girls. But also if you can mention that, you mention, oh yeah, the fucking cattle call is those are the worst, something like that, right? You say that to a girl who's been through that, she knows from you saying that you've dated other girls that were actresses or other girls that were hot girls or other girls that were the caliber of girl that showed up for that thing that she feels in competition with. And that's going to do a lot for her, right? Or if you happen during one of your stories to just accidentally drop in that you are in some foreign country or some nice place while having that story. And it's a relevant detail of the story. It's not something you tried to throw in and it looks tryhard, but it happens to convey lifestyle. If those things exist in your stories, go ahead and have those exist. Go ahead and show that you are a member of that world. Go ahead and show that you can live that lifestyle to some extent. Now, the problem here is a lot of guys try and do that before they do step one of just treating the girl like a normal girl, right? If you are clearly pandering to the girl and trying to impress the girl and you throw that stuff in, it's just going to come off as more try-hard stuff to try and impress her. But once you can act normally and not be pandering, now that kind of stuff really helps you. And so it does really have to go in this order. You have to learn how to treat them as human beings first, and then learn how to treat them as hot girls. If you start treating them as hot girls before you learn how to treat them as human beings, it's all actually going to work against you. By the way, quickly want to mention, throughout this advice that I've given on how to meet and date the hottest girls, I've talked a lot about the things you say, right? Saying it in this way instead of this way, using a more irreverent word rather than a more polite word, or how to convey this high value thing in a way that seems natural and not try hard. All of those are a type of game that I call verbal game. It's something I kind of teach at an advanced level. I like to say that like you should work on the fundamentals of game from beginner, intermediate, and then verbal game is in a big sense what will take you from intermediate to advanced. But if you do want to get to advanced in game, if you do want to get the hottest girls, you should definitely check out my course, Verbal Game. It's at verbalgameacademy.com. So you should check it out there. And it is an advanced course, but it does have within it the stuff that will get you from beginner to intermediate to advanced. So it has everything you need in it, but it is focused on the advanced game. And I really would say it's my most complete course for how to do really advanced game and how to go from getting cute girls to getting hot girls. So if that's of interest to you, definitely check it out. It's at verbalgameacademy.com. So another question I got recently along these lines of how to adapt to the hottest girls, and this actually came up from a student when I was explaining the things I just explained to you, where I talked about, you know, adapting to the girl's lifestyle and showing her you're part of that world, but at the same time, not bending over backwards and not being not yourself for her. And the interesting kind of follow-up question was, what about when it comes to taking these girls on dates? Because these girls are used to getting invited to these insane places on dates. And so in a way, you're kind of in competition with guys that want to take them to those places. And maybe even they have a reference of these like incredible experiences on dates. If you're not going to invite them to those places, if you're not going to give that experience, are you hurting yourself? Are you shooting yourself in the foot? Or on the other hand, if you do take them to that place, are you trying too hard and you're just the next schlub who's trying to sleep with them and gets rejected? And this is a really interesting and really nuanced kind of question. And it comes down to a lot of different factors. And part of it comes down to you, right? If you are in fact quite wealthy and going to these kind of places is normal for you, then by all means, it's not try hard or it's not pandering to go to these places, right? Like I've had clients on my programs that were, you know, multi-millionaires to even 9-10 figure type people. Those kind of people do not go to cheap restaurants simply because they don't have to, they don't need to. In their normal day-to-day life, they go and do expensive shit because expensive shit is usually better than cheap shit and the money doesn't matter very much to them. In that case, it would be weird and incongruent not to go there. And in fact, in that case, when the girl finds out the rest of your details, it doesn't seem like you tried hard to take her there at all, right? If you have a private jet, it's not weird to take the girl to Nobu. You know what I mean? It's fucking fine. It's a thing, right? And so a lot of that comes down there. Whereas if you're a struggling college student and you clearly like this was 2 weeks salary to take her to this place, now it clearly is super, super, super try hard. So everything is a little bit relative, right? It is relative to where you're at. Now, let's say hypothetically, you are the struggling college student. You have no money and you want to take the girl on a really cool date or something like that. You want to do something that'll be appealing to her. Well, what you want to do is you want to take her on something that's cool or fun or interesting rather than something that's super, super high end. Also, there's this nice kind of thing in modern society, in the Western world, I guess, where taking someone for a drink is considered a fine date no matter what. And there's sort of a cap on how much a drink can cost. I mean, there may be places that you could pay $100 for a drink. I haven't found them. Right. Like in general, a drink is going to cost at like your lowest end place on like fucking dollar drink night or whatever, like $2-3, whatever the fuck. It'll be like super cheap. Right. On the highest end, maybe you're talking $20 a drink, $25, maybe something like that. Right. It's not really going to get that high for a drink because people just kind of know what alcohol costs. I mean, you could go bottle service, in which case you're paying a lot more than that per drink, I suppose. So that's a different way. But if you're literally just going to a bar for a drink, there is a cap on how expensive that can be. And so you can take a girl to a really nice place for drinks and it's still capped because you chose drinks instead of dinner. And honestly, drinks is a better date than dinner in a lot of ways also. So that's something cool. The other thing you can do is you can take a girl to something that is more exclusive or unique without being expensive, right? So for example, back when I was in the Project Hollywood house, if you guys read the book, The Game, way back in the day, one member of our house, I won't get into details and names or whatever. If you know it well, you can maybe figure it out, but I'm not going to like, you know, put people's names on blast. He would take girls to like the Oscars or to like, you know, backstage it with the band or something like that on dates. And he got a much better follow through with girls coming on dates than other guys in the house did, even for girls that liked him less or he'd done less of a good job in the initial interaction. And it absolutely helped him. That said, it was congruent for him because of his lifestyle and job and different things like that. It made sense for him to do that. So it worked. So obviously that would be of a benefit to you. But compare taking a girl to a really expensive event that you don't have a personal connection to versus taking a girl to go watch your best friend perform in his underground band at some club and you go watch. And then afterwards you go talk with the band and like interact with them. You seem very, very cool because you knew the band and because it was your friend's event and because he was on stage, even though you maybe got into that for free because your friend just comped you some tickets, right? And so there's a lot of these opportunities where you have a particular in, right? Or let's say you're an athlete, you play a particular sport. Maybe you know the coach or the trainer for some professional team or whatever, and you go do something that is, you know, related to the sport or related to that thing, or it's even comped or whatever. I remember the first... This isn't the greatest example, but it's kind of an example. The first real date that I actually put effort into that I ever went on, I had been to a comedy show and I went and talked to the comedian afterwards because I like comedy a lot and actually made something of a connection. He offered to, hey, I'll get you free tickets to my show sometime. And then it just so happened, I got a date with a girl the next week and I got the free tickets to the show and took her there and actually said hi to the dude afterwards and stuff like that. It made me look fucking cool. Didn't cost me a penny as a broke college student. How did I do it? I did it through my connections and networking and meeting people and that kind of stuff. So you can take them on cool dates that make you look cool that don't cost a lot of money as well. And that's really the ideal. That said, again, if you have the money and it's not a big deal to you, you absolutely can spend it. And there is a certain amount of, you know, showing lifestyle will help you on dates. It's a resume builder. It's an attraction builder in some cases. You do want to be careful, though, that you don't put yourself too much in the provider frame. You still want to be the guy that even if you're wealthy, it comes off like your wealth is a channel through which to have experiences in life as opposed to a channel for stability. So kind of a metric I have for spending money on women is I'll buy a girl a plane ticket to come visit me and have an adventure, but I will not pay for her refrigerator or her rent or any shit like that, right? So I don't pay for mundane items in which I don't have an interest. But if we're doing something cool together and I'm paying to enhance the experience for myself and she's along for the ride, that's fine as long as it's within an affordable limit for me. So I hope you liked that little dive into life, lifestyle, beautiful women, how they're different, how they're the same. It was a little all over the place, but I think it all kind of came together in the end and hopefully it was informative for you. In any case, thanks for being here. Hopefully we'll see you on the next Todd V Show, which again, this one's recent from the last one. Hopefully the next one will be recent from this one. We're going to make a pattern of this. We're going to make a habit. So come back soon. We'll see you there. Bye.